Originally, pavements were designed using old, tried, empirical methods based on experience. This method lasted to the end of the 1960s. Phil Walter explains.
In those days, the typical pavement design was just based on an empirical method, a system developed by Sandy Britton back in about 1948. And it was just a cover requirement over the subgrade. And this was based on just a rule, almost like a rule of thumb, where values were assigned to things like grading, moisture relationships, and by applying those factors, they just came up with a sum at the end which gave you a thickness of cover over the subgrade.
During the 1970s, late 60s and 1970s, people started to look at the elastic modulus of pavement materials and analysing layers and foundations for buildings and silos as well as roads on the basis of the elastic properties, and we call this a mechanistic approach, whereby you can have a pavement material with a particular modulus and behaviour that you can define, and another pavement material that has got an entirely different grading, perhaps a different plasticity, but happens to have the same strength properties for a number of different physical reasons and will perform equivalently. This meant that your selection of gravels and the nature of materials that you build your pavements from could expand because you'd understand the behaviour, the mechanistic behaviour, a lot better. And so we started to relate our empirical pavement design to mechanistic properties, and therefore we could accelerate the development of mechanistic design. So there was a major acceleration, particularly in Australia, using a software program called Circly, which was an Australian product, Australian-developed software for the linear elastic analysis of pavements in multi-layers. And it was that research and that move to mechanistic design that enabled us, for instance, to consider a stabilised layer and say, well, for 300 millimetres of stabilised layer, we could replace 600 millimetres of granular material. And with 300 millimetres of stabilised layer, if we did the analysis, we might be able to replace 180 millimetres of asphalt. And so then we've now got a choice, and we can look at the supply of local materials, the costs, the construction method, the traffic, and then decide how to build a pavement. So it opened up a lot of horizons for us. The unfortunate thing at the time was we didn't think we had the equipment to put down, say, 300 millimetres. So that's what mechanistic design meant in stabilisation and how it developed.
Pavements are a consumable. They're designed to fail. They're designed to provide an ability to carry load. And, of course, when we design over 20, 30, 40 year life, you know, normally concrete pavements are designed for 40, flexibles for 20, but you work out a number of repetitions of a standard axle each layer can support until it fatigues, no longer has the ability to perform the way it's been designed.
Fatigue performance is something that we're still learning about. There hasn't been too much work done on what the impact is of repetitive loads, and this is equally shared by both asphaltic concrete, which is the blacktop that we normally see, normal concrete pavements, and also stabilised pavements. And some research is occurring there. One of the things that has been demonstrated is that if you use some of these binders like slag lime and slag cement and fly ash limes, that if you do get failure due to repetitive load, and it usually demonstrates in a crack or something like that, that you do get a thing known as autogenous healing. In other words, with the moisture coming down, the material does tend to rehydrate to some extent and do a bit of a healing, but it's still not as strong as it is. So there's a lot of work being done now on that. One of the things that has been demonstrated is that some of these slag binders have a higher flexural strength. In other words, they appear to be more resistant to fatigue loads.